Welcome to True Worldview, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical perspective. This is your place for intelligent conversation on ultimate questions and the relevant issues of our day. Here are your hosts, Christy Johnson and Dr. Paul Dean.
Welcome to True Worldview. Christy, got some big things to talk about, as always. Ideas have consequences. That's always the case. I'm thinking today about postmodernism, among other things, and how this rejection of truth, this rejection of reason, it's the reason that we have a lot of the perversions that we have today, a lot of the ideas that are destructive of relationships, destructive of whole civilizations. It's the reason we have a lot of these destructive ideas floating around today. And again, one of those ideas that I want to be, you know, up front with Christians about and just say we need to think and talk about these things a little bit more than we are. One of those issues is transgenderism, gender fluidity. I mean, it seems, Christy, that we see these things, among others, but we see these things pushed on us from every quarter of our culture all of a sudden. We are inundated, it seems to me. What do you think?
Yeah, that's true. Even just scrolling through my YouTube feed, I will often have videos pop up about transgenderism or gender nonconforming persons. And not because I'm subscribed to channels, in my opinion, that I think will show me that kind of videos. But for example, I'm subscribed to a channel called Hi Ho Kids, and they put out a lot of stuff that is really fun and really funny. It's basically filming kids doing stuff where they try new foods or they play games together or whatever. And so, you know, you'd think it'd be a pretty, you know,
non-controversial, tame, yeah.
Right. Or just
family
neutral,
oriented.
Neutral.
Yeah.
Yeah. Neutral. And but then they have a series called Kids Meet. And they have a lot of really cool conversations on there where they'll have kids meet a firefighter, or they'll have kids meet a UPS driver, or they had kids meet an opera singer. And those were all really fun, and they just have a conversation with them. But then they also have some really important topics where they will talk about stuff that maybe is harder for us to talk about. They'll have kids meet someone who was in prison but got out of prison, and they'll talk, you know, have an important conversation about what made that person end up in prison and how, you know, they regret it and all that kind of thing, or things like that. But they have several called Kids Meet. Let me just read some of them. Kids Meet a Gender Nonconforming Person. Kids Meet a Transgender Soldier. Kids Meet a Drag Queen. Kids Meet a gay conversion therapy survivor. And so all of a sudden, these things are just popping up into my newsfeed where I think I'm subscribed to a kid's show, which it is. And then all of a sudden, this comes up. So it really is.
Hey, kids. Like, honey, get the kids.
Yeah.
The drag queen is on. Hurry. I'm sorry.
I know.
I'm being bad. I am not making fun of people, but are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm really torn, not because I understand that, you know, we need to be able to have conversations with people and not, you know, let our biases get in the way and be rude to them or
sure.
be unloving or unkind. And so I like that they do have conversations with these people, but at the same time, it's kind of weird to me to have kids talking to a drag queen who basically the whole purpose of a drag queen, don't they get up and like dance around at like strip clubs? I don't know. I don't know what a drag queen does, but that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, these are kids and this is not appropriate for kids because
no.
they're talking about all the things of all this sexual nature.
Sure. No, some of them do. I don't think that just because you're a drag queen, you do that. Possibly. What do I know? I mean, I don't move in those circles either, but you've got cross dressers and you've got, you know, exotic dancers and all the rest. But it's interesting to me that, you know, you can go to the local library here and the drag queens are reading books to the kids. And it's in an effort to mainstream sexual perversion. That's what we're talking about. And like you say, I'm not trying to be ugly or rude or make fun of, but we do have to be honest. And, you know, unless you're talking about heterosexual sex and sexuality, you're talking about something that is against nature. And I'm just telling you what the scripture says. So it's a perversion by definition. But I did find it interesting that when you were going through this hi-ho kids, you know, you've got the firefighter and the, you know, the lawyer and the school teacher, yeah. The nurse. I don't remember whatever, you know, one you read, meet this, meet that, and then meet the transgender. And, you know, again, not to make fun, but it would seem a little bit more in line, and I'm going to make a point, seem a little bit more in line, you know, meet the fireman, meet the nurse, meet the hooker. You know, meet the prostitute, because essentially if you're doing that, at least you're talking about a different profession. You know, here's a nurse and here's a prostitute, and it's a different profession. And obviously I would never do that. I'm speaking a little tongue in cheek to make this point. Why is it that when we're meeting the fireman and the lawyer, when you have to meet the transgender person, as if sexual orientation or gender identity is just, you know, again, well, this is who I am, so I'm either a fireman or I'm a transgender. Well, wait a minute. Are we going to put every form of sexual deviation now in a different category? And when you introduce yourself, you know, well, hi, what do you do? Well, I'm a construction worker. Oh, well, I like kinky sex, you know? And I'm not trying to be overly graphic. It's they're mixing categories, and that is the least of our worries, but it just popped into my head as you were talking. They're mixing categories, and those kinds of things are so frustrating to me because, again, it has implications. You know, we're not going to discriminate. We don't want to evilly discriminate against anyone, so I guess I'm thinking out loud here. I don't know what to say. I don't know where I'm going exactly, so I might not say it right at first. But obviously, you know, if someone's born white, if someone's born Asian, someone's born black, someone's born European, someone's born Indian, whatever the case may be, you know, those are part of our human condition. They're part of how we're created. They're part of, you know, ethnicity and all kinds of things. You can't put sexual orientation in that same category. You say, well, I was born, you know, sexually perverted. Well, maybe you were, and that's why you need the gospel, because I was born, you know, angry, let's say, and that's why I need the gospel. And somebody else, you know, I was born a murderer. That's why I need the gospel. But, you know, if you're born black, guess what? You don't need the gospel because you're born black. You know what I'm saying? You don't need the gospel because you're born Asian or white or American or European. You need the gospel because you're born a sinner, and being black is not sin, but being transgender is sin. That's what I'm trying to say in my bull in the China closet way.
Right.
Well, anyway, gender fluidity, you know, the concept that you can be one gender today and another gender tomorrow. You know, gender is fluid. Gender, you know, what they say is there's a big difference between biological sex and a person's gender. You know, I can identify as a male today and a female tomorrow and maybe a mix the next day, and I'm not exaggerating. And, of course, one of the problems is our culture progresses and these ideas have taken root and now they're blossoming and flourishing. They've now evolved to say that sex itself is just a social construct. You know, the binary construct is actually oppressive. You know what I mean by that? The concept of male and female. You can't talk about male, female, because that's oppressive. You know, this whole language of, well, I'm a woman trapped in a man's body, or I'm a man trapped in a woman's body, that kind of language is going to be obsolete if it's not already becoming obsolete. I'm not an expert in gender studies, but I can see where things were, where they are, and it's obvious where things are going. And again, I don't want to just talk the whole time, Christy, but let me just introduce this and we'll get your thoughts. Gary Brombolo has written an important piece entitled Meet the Inventor of Gender Theory. And he says this: a recent remarkable disclosure at Quillett reinforces the influence of postmodernism on the transgenderism folly. The writer, Christopher Dummett, is a Canadian historian of culture and politics. He's written an article, this Christopher Dummett, entitled, I Basically Just Made It Up, Confessions of a Social Constructionist. He admits to being one of the early promoters, maybe the first promoter of transgender theory as a grad student in his 20s. Now, listen to what this individual has to say, this Christopher Dummett. He says, if I had known 20 years ago that my side in the ideological wars over gender and sex was going to win so decisively, I would have been ecstatic. Back then, I spent many evenings at the pub or at dinner parties debating gender and identity with other graduate students, or really anyone who would listen, my mother-in-law, my relatives, or just a random person unlucky enough to be in my presence. I insisted that there was no such thing as sex, and I knew it. I just knew it because I was a gender historian. Now, he goes on to say more, but think about what this individual is saying. He's saying that he's one of the early promoters, if not the first promoter, as this gender historian. He was one of the first promoters of the concept that sex is basically, I'm talking about the sex of a person, is basically a social construct. There's no such thing. And You know, if you were to say to the average person today, well, this whole thing is just made up, they would say, well, that is astonishing. But it's not really, because we know it's made up. We've always known it's made up. I think part of the problem is we Christians just don't know what to do about it.
Right. I mean, we've always known that gender and sex are tied together, not just biologically, but from the Bible. God says he created them male and female. And so this reminds me of some of our other podcasts that we've had recently on social media and how ideas spread really quickly in the current culture's climate. And it's just interesting to me how in the last 20 years, these ideas have spread so quickly into where now it's normal to have a conversation with children saying, hey, meet this person who survived gay conversion therapy and meet this gender nonconforming person. So I think the root here is that we need to call people out for when things are made up, and we need to call people out for when things do not align with scripture.
Yeah.
And we need to call sin what it is, not blur the lines between I don't know what's okay, and I don't know. We need to be loving, but we do need to call sin what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And the reason is not just because we like to be adversarial. It's not just because okay, well, we disagree with you, so we're going to fight about it. That you know, the reality is, God is real, and sin is our problem, and there's only one way to fix it, and that is redemption in Christ. And if persons are allowed to continue in their sin and in their rebellion against God, then the consequences are destructive for them in the immediate sense. It's destructive for them in the context of their relationships and the way that they're going to interact with the larger culture. And ultimately, it's certainly destructive of them spiritually and perhaps eternally if they don't come to know Christ. And so these are life and death issues. That's why we care so much about these things. And of course, it dishonors God. So, you know, I think it's important for Christians to remind themselves of why we want to talk about these things. It's not just that, gosh, I see something in the culture that I don't like, and so I'm going to go on a rant. We're not on a rant.
Yeah.
I mean, we're essentially here, you know, at the street corner where the bridge is out, saying the bridge is out, don't go that way, come this way, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I, not to interrupt you, but I don't know if this is a good way to look at it, but I need the gospel just as much as a transgender person needs the gospel.
Yeah.
Because I sin, and a transgender person sins, and, you know, even sexual sin for heterosexual people doesn't mean that, you know, that's not sin. Sin is sin. And sometimes I look at the culture and all of the agendas that the homosexual groups have, and all of the just the fighting and everything. And I I don't get up in arms too much about it right. because the answer is universal. The answer is the gospel. And so I feel like we can fight the homosexual agenda if we want to, but that's not, I think the answer is the gospel.
Yes.
I'm not sure if I'm being clear, but
no, you are,
you know, I don't want to give the impression that we're just trying to, argue or that we're just trying to throw punches or make fun of. But the reality is that we all need the gospel. And instead of freaking out, we need to love our neighbors and have conversations with people as people. So what I meant about the Hi-Ho Kids, I appreciate that they're having real and honest conversations with people. Christians sometimes, I think, are afraid to go talk to people that are different than them. We need to be having real conversations and showing them love, but we need to be showing the gospel and how we all need grace.
Well, no, I agree with you completely, but I do want to clarify one thing. You don't want...
Sure.
You know, the schools bringing in or whoever, Hi-Ho Kids bringing in the transgender folk to talk to your kids when they're 5, 6, 7
right.
years old. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
You're training them at home and you want to train them, you know, in the truth. And then, of course, when they're ready, you know, as they meet folk who are homosexual, transgender, they can love them and give them the gospel. But that's a totally different thing than the culture imposing.
Yeah.
Yeah, their values, because they're not just introducing kids to transgender folk. They're imposing values.
Well, that's why I don't plan on sending my kids to public school. But yeah. that's a topic for another podcast.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. But listen, let's get back to something you said a moment ago, because I don't want to be overly academic, but I do think we need to arm ourselves and remind ourselves, and we need to lay a foundation. And this is one of those probably 2 or 3 part, you know, podcasts. But you said that God created human beings, male and female, and that mm-hmm. is a fact. That's right. So what you have there is, okay, you're born male, biological male, and certain things go along with maleness by nature, or you're born a biological female and certain things go along with femaleness by nature. The Bible says that. And this is something that God has done. And so there are certain things that are true about men that are not true about women and vice versa. And that has to do not only with physicality, but it also has to do with emotions. It also has to mm-hmm. do with the way they relate, the way they look at the world and certain roles. It doesn't mean there aren't exceptions because of a fallen world and sin and all the rest. And it doesn't mean that there isn't a little bit of liberty in terms of jobs or something like that here or there. But the reality is God is the one who defines these things, not us. And one of the really, really sad things to me, Christy, is that not only do Christians in the pews buy into the world's definition of these things, there are theologians who buy into certain things because it's, mm-hmm. I don't know if they just want to be well thought of by the world or if they just get confused. I think it's a combination of both. Or mm-hmm. they hear somebody, gosh, I want to do an entire series on this one, but I listened to a couple of lectures by 3 individuals that at least one of them I've had great respect for in years past, but 3 individuals at a major seminary. And one was a professor of New Testament, and he brought in a professor of theology and then a professor of counseling, psychology, and not a biblical counselor, but a Christian counselor. But here's what happens when you're not committed to the scriptures, you're not committed to, you know, biblical theology, you buy into all kinds of things that are not rooted in scripture and that are patently false. And you have an agenda. You're here to teach those theologians a lesson. And that actually came through in this lecture. And I don't know if the theologian felt that. I was embarrassed for the brother. I'm not even, people are listening, but who are you talking about? And boy, I'd like to hear that. I'm not here to bash. So I'm just using it as an example and how that happens. If you're a Christian and you're trying to talk to a non-Christian about things, a lot of times you're just trying to be nice. The person mm-hmm. you're talking to is not being nice. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not saying that gives you a license not to be nice, but you need to be armed with the truth, and you need to be bold enough to speak the truth in love, to be sure, but you got to speak it. But anyway, I'm really getting far afield, and I'm not trying to. But these guys were saying things like gender dysphoria. You know, gender dysphoria, where someone, maybe they're born a female, but they feel like they're really a male. You know, they're... Mm-hmm. Their identity is not what their biological sex is. And they're going on to say that's a real thing. You know, as if anybody who would argue with that is an idiot. Well, people may feel that way. So I won't deny that it might be, it might be a reality for some. But I'd say a couple of things. Number one, far more people feel that way in our culture than they would have or did 50 years ago, because a lot of this is the openness that people have to new ideas. Wouldn't have felt that way before. There are those who maybe feel that way. But see, what we're doing now, Christy, is arguing over whether or not it's legitimate to experience gender dysphoria. And these guys are legitimizing it. These are Christian theologians legitimizing it, because they're saying, like, let's say that somebody experiences gender dysphoria at the age of, you know, four. Well, the world is saying, oh, you know, it's this little boy. He feels like he's a girl. Go ahead and dress him like a girl. Go ahead and inject the hormones and keep him from reaching puberty by the, you know, when he's 12, 13, whatever. He's a little boy. Make him a girl. Well, they say, well, no, we don't want to do that. You know, as if they're, okay, have a really Christian view on this. But you know what they say? They say, we just need to watch and wait. Watch and wait. Mm-hmm. And if when this little boy is older and decides, okay, he's a little girl, well, now what? Well, see, the implication is we're going to let him make that decision. And I'm saying to you, you cannot do that. You need to tell that little boy who thinks he's a little girl, you are not a little girl. You are a little boy. And here's what little boys are, and here's what little boys should think, and you need to train them biblically. That's what I'm saying. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think this concept of trying to legitimize sinful thoughts and feelings goes far beyond even just the issue of transgender, homosexual, or these kinds of agendas. It goes far beyond that, even to when we talk about things like anxiety, or things like fear, or things like stress. We kind of legitimize them. Like when we talk to our friends, so often our first response is to talk to our friends when we feel feelings of sinful feelings like anger and stress. And they'll say, oh, it's okay. You know, we all feel that way. And so we kind of downgrade it or make it not as big of a problem as it is, instead of calling sin, sin, and actually fighting it and repenting of it, which is what the Bible says. The Bible says, repent. The Bible doesn't say, oh, they're there. I'm sorry you feel that way. It's okay. The Bible says, repent and follow God.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, I'll tell you what, Christy, we really just scratching the surface on this, and I really want to talk about some other things. So why don't we just shut it down here and let's just pick it up next time. Does that sound good to you?
Sounds good. We'll see you then on True Worldview.
You've been listening to True Worldview, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical perspective. To access archive broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Thanks for listening, and join us next time on True Worldview. And the gospel.